Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The New Testament. The scripture reading is Romans 15, verse 4. Thank you to Glynis, Earl, Barb, and Dawn for being part of the service. Happy birthday this week to Peter and Earl, and happy anniversary to Kronti and Ruthu. There may be some interruptions to new service recordings during the months of July and August as people are traveling. We encourage you to check out our archive of over 200 video sermons and more than 400 audio sermons, all at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca/sermons.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning, everyone. So I want to do something today that I've never done before in 46 years of preaching. I want to preach through the entire New Testament. So, hour, 2, 3 hours, something like that. No, the reality is what I'd like to do is I just want to focus on one particular section of scripture in each of the 27 books in the New Testament. So strap in and here we go. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. I guess so. The tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord to your test." And then in Mark, in chapter 10, 13 through 15, this is one of my favorite passages. I remember years and years ago where we had Bible books and they had pictures inside. I can still picture this, all these little children gathering around Jesus. Mark 10, 13 through 15. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for these children are the kingdom of God." And that's still true today, isn't it? And then in Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That's a beautiful passage. And then this, John 14. Jesus said, so prevalent for us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Precious words of Jesus. And then we get into the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, Peter addresses the crowd and says, "In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Men and women can preach." Sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men, I dream dreams too, will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. They will declare the word of God. They will live it. They will speak it. And then the book of Romans. Well, this was difficult for me. From the book of Romans, what are you going to say? There's so much to say. So, Romans 8, 28, promise of God. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." That's us. And then in verse 37, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Nothing. Nothing. And then 1 Corinthians 13. Paul, standing up in front of a group of people, saying, "If I speak in the language or tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." That's not what you want your preacher to be like. Repeat, repeat, repeat. No, 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 no. It's not a resounding gong. It's not a clanging cymbal. He says, "If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I can fathom all the mysteries, all knowledge, and I have faith so much that I could say to the mountains, move and they move, but have not love, I'm nothing." Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. And then he says, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully." And these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I love this. I love this part. We don't really know everything. We just don't know everything. And then I think when we stand and see God for the first time, we're going to go, "Oh, I get it now. It clearly is there for us." We struggle sometimes with the understanding. The greatest of all of this, whether we understand or not, is love. But God will reveal all of his language to us, which is amazing. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul is someone who likes to praise God, and he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of all compassion, and he is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, always, so that we can comfort those who have trouble. And our hope for you is firm, Because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Come alongside one another. And then in the book of Galatians, probably one of the most quoted passages in chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit, as we sang today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And then he says this, and because of that, since we live by the Holy Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Stay close to God. Let's never be conceited, provoking, or envying of each other. In other words, people can quote all kinds of scriptures, but if their life doesn't match it, if their life is out of control, we need to go back and look at the scriptures again. It's not just the reading of the scriptures and it's the understanding. It's putting it into the heart. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. My question is, are we the same in response to God? We give ourselves to him. And I know that sounds like it's preaching, but I think it's true. I think it's a reality for all of us to recognize God in our life, Jesus in our life, the Holy Spirit in our life. And yes, there are tragedies that we've all experienced and we don't know why, but there are also joys, unexpected joys that we don't know why, but we know that God is always with us. So then, in the book of Ephesians, very, very positive book, Ephesians, he says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, every one of them. For he chose us, listen to this, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Even before God created us, he knew us, the exact time and places where we would live. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, and he will bring, listen to this, all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, namely Jesus Christ. In him, we are also chosen, and the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance to the praise of his glory. Absolutely true. It's amazing what God gives us. And then in Philippians, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, Jesus, will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We're not going to give up. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. His good purpose in our life. Isn't that amazing? And then in Colossians, I have a star on my notes in Colossians because it is another amazing scripture. Listen to this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, reconciling all things on earth by making peace through his blood on the cross. Really amazes me what God gives us. 1 Thessalonians, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, just as we told you, that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. In other words, you're going to live your faithful life, demonstrating it to God. And then in 2 Thessalonians, he uses the word peace over and over again. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and every way. The Lord be with all of you. 1 Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, Paul, the Apostle Paul, and a persecutor, he used to persecute Christians, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am the worst of sinners. Christ Jesus displayed his unlimited patience to receive eternal life. Death is not the end. 2 Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord Jesus. And then verse 13, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. In other words, don't give up. God is pouring out his faith into our faith. The book of Titus. But when the kindness, many of us know this scripture well, but when the kindness of love of Jesus Christ appeared, he saved us, not by righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might have the hope of eternal life. And that hope isn't a guess, a wish, it's a reality. And then moving on closer to the end, this little book, and it's really a cool book to read. It's called the Book of Philemon. There's no chapters, just verses. Listen to what he says. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing that we do have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. God refreshes us. We just have to receive it. And then the book of Hebrews. This was a tough one. What scripture do you choose? It's really quite remarkable. So I gave it a shot. The first part, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. He says this, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. He did it at many times, did it in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. God did it. Jesus did it. The Holy Spirit. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Listen to this. And is the exact representation of his being, sustaining everything, all things, by his powerful word. And then the book of James, chapter 1. So don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to save us by the birth through word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits over everything that he has created. 1 Peter 1. Sometimes you just want to have a little praise session. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an exclamation point. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance, our inheritance, listen, that can never perish. That spiritual inheritance can never perish, never spoil, never fade. It's kept in heaven for you. Amazing. 2 Peter, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, we may, listen to this, participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God gives us that faith. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is the message that we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim to you, eternal life. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us of, somebody help me, all sin. Yeah. And then 2 John, no chapter, just verse 3. And good words. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ. The Father's Son will be with us forever. And then 3 John, verses 2 through 4. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. It gives me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. And I think that's part of us as well. Okay, last two. Jude, not Judas, Jude. No chapter, just verses 20 through 24. Listen to what he says. But you, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you in the last times, there'll be scoffers who will follow their own evil desires. These are men who will divide you. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And lastly, Revelation. Took me a long time to figure out what scripture could I use in Revelation. There are so many. But I finished the sermon with these words. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. They sang these words, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne, God, and to the Lamb, Jesus, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and forever. Amen." The New Testament.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.